In the name of God, the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. How do you tell a disciple of Jesus Christ? I know there are a lot of people that we see in the news just about every day who are explaining that to us. But I think it might be a good thing for us just to take Jesus' explanation and go with that. Jesus himself answers that question in a very few words. He said, "And now I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. If you have love for one another, then everyone will know that you are my disciples." Love is the hallmark of Christianity. It is the ID of discipleship, the true identification by which one who is in union with Christ is recognized in the world. Jesus commanded his disciples to love. But what kind of love is it that has to be commanded? Certainly not the type celebrated in romantic songs and novels and movies. That kind is commended, but not commanded. It's a tougher kind of love, less attractive strain, more in the category of justice, compassion, and acceptance. It is the kind of love Jesus has for us. In the words of H.H. Farmer, the Christian doctrine of love is not a glib and easy doctrine. There is at the heart of it the cross. The cross is the ultimate payment in the high cost of loving. This is the ultimate love and the unlimited love Jesus has for us, and we are commanded to show that kind of love for one another. If we do not, we will not be recognized as his followers. If we do, it will be the one sure sign of the truth of our claim to discipleship. So I ask you this morning, how does the love you show for others measure up when compared to Christ's love for you? Well, sometimes we look pretty good. Sometimes we know the love is there and showing forth nicely. But other times we slip, and the tragedy is that when we do, we're prone to do that which Christ would never do. We try to justify our unloving actions and secure our position of power by saying, "Well, I love you, but..." And that's the way so-called holy wars are started. That's the way relationships are shattered. That's the way communities of faith become little more than civic clubs. When Jesus told his disciples, "You must be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect," he was referring to this radical command to love one another. We usually think of perfection in terms of the Latin sense of the word, meaning completed without error. But in the New Testament, it is the Greek sense of the word that is used, meaning maturity. So if our love in this sense is not perfect as the love of Jesus for us, then we still have some maturing to do. And in order for us to grow toward maturity, we have to be constantly reminded of how the love of God was expressed in Christ Jesus. That is why we are summoned to gather week by week for the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. This sacrament is the reminder, the promise, and the real experience of love divine. When we as a community join together around Christ's table, we receive his love. The formula is pretty simple. The more we receive his love, the more loving we become. It is transformative. The commandment to love one another is a theme that is cited numerous times throughout the Hebrew scriptures. And Jesus certainly had repeated those words often during his ministry, leading up to the event recorded in today's passage from John's Gospel. So what then was the special nuance that made this final mandate so special and so memorable? I believe it was that qualifying phrase Jesus added to the words, love one another. He made it very specific by saying that his followers were to love one another just as I have loved you. In other words, the unique way that Jesus had incarnated that ancient ideal was to become the pattern of how his followers then and now were to love one another. St. Augustine of Hippo provided two clues to such a question about the special nuances of such love. His first clue is his observation that Jesus loved each one he had ever met as if there were none other in the entire world to love. Such radically individualized affection will always remain a mystery. But let us never forget that we're made in the image of that extraordinary love. Doing what Jesus did in loving each one he ever met as if there were only one to love is an ideal toward which we can reach, even if it always should remain utterly beyond our complete grasp. The second clue St. Augustine offers is that Jesus loved all as he loved each. The way he loved was not only individualized, but was also incredibly universal. The eyes of the Jesus portrayed in the Gospels were never filled with contempt or disdain. Even when his words sounded harsh, it was because of his deeply loving concern for those whom he addressed. St. Augustine's words are a wonderful description of the unique way that Jesus loved. He now invites us to love in that way as well. He loved each one he ever met as if there were none other to love, and he loved all as he loved each. In reflecting upon this passage, I thought about something that C.S. Lewis had said about the concept of love in one of his last books. He examined all the famous Greek words for the concept of love and then concluded that they all come down to one seminal distinction, the difference between what he calls need love and gift love. Need love, Lewis says, is always born of emptiness. A need lover sees in every beloved object or person a value that he or she covets to possess. It does not take exceptional imagination, Lewis contends, to acknowledge that many times when we say to one another, I love you, what we really mean is, I need you, I want you, you have a value that I very much desire to make my own, no matter what the consequence to you may be. Now, over against this graphic image, Lewis contends that there is another reality that is utterly different. It is what he calls gift love. Instead of being born of emptiness or scarcity, this form of love is born of fullness and abundance. The goal of gift love is to enrich and enhance the beloved rather than to extract value from the other. Lewis concludes this contrast by saying that the uniqueness of the biblical vision of reality is that God's love is gift love, not need love. And then he says, we humans are made in the image of such everlasting and unconditional love. Gift love, as Lewis describes it, is the foundation stone of how St. Augustine describes Jesus' way of loving. You and I are loved by God in this way. This way of loving forms our spiritual identity when it is the way we choose to live our lives. I know it's a tall order. It seems out of our reach, but I do not believe Jesus would have given us this new commandment if it had been impossible for us to obey with God's help. So this is the good news, the promise, and the hope we embrace. You and I, with the help of God's unfailing grace, can grow into the wonder of loving each other as if there is none other to love, and loving all as we love each. So that brings us back to the question with which I began this sermon. How can you tell a disciple of Jesus? And I believe the response is that if we love in this way as Jesus loved, everyone will know that we are the followers of Jesus, the risen Christ. Amen.